Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, December 18th, 1 week away from Christmas. It's 2025, so just a couple of weeks away from 2026. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield with you, and looking at some breaking news, although it's been more than rumored, it's been basically out there that A.J. McCarron was going to become the new head coach of the Birmingham Stallions. I mean, once he dropped out of the Secretary of State race, I think it became clear that's where he was going. So A.J. McCarron's the head coach of the Birmingham Stallions, and it is being met on social media with mixed reviews. I think there is a lot of people that question, you know, hiring a guy who's never coached at any level, and you know, was certainly a successful, mostly a backup quarterback in the NFL, but played a number of years in the NFL, then had a great, great run in the XFL and USFL, which became the UFL, but has never coached. And so he's going to be the head coach taking over Skip Holtz, who was an incredibly successful head coach. So interesting there. In the United Football League, A.J. McCarron takes over the Stallions. And I think there's a little pushback, too. There's quite a few UAB fans that are Stallions fans. And so anyway, I'm just gauging that based on what I see on social media. But A.J. McCarron is the head coach of the Birmingham Stallions. So some breaking news there right off the top. We got a good show on tap again today. Let me just go ahead and tell you that this really, you know, I told you one show I had recently, I designed it not to have a second hour guest. That was not the case today. In fact, usually Thursdays are one of our busiest days for guests, but Jeff Spiegel's got, as I said yesterday, he's got a little granddaughter that's going to be in a Christmas program. So he had texted me yesterday about moving a slot, and I said, well, just take the day off. But then last night, I wound up texting with D. Orlando Ledbetter, and he asked out of his spot because he's attending a funeral today. So now all of a sudden, those two guests are gone, and I said, well, what the heck? You know, I'm not even going to worry with filling it because we got Coach Ellis Johnson on at 9:30, and Coach Ellis Johnson always is we go in-depth with him, as you know, with college football, particularly this week, of obviously with the playoffs. We'll break it all down, including Alabama and Oklahoma tomorrow night, and that's it for guests. But we do have a lot of audio available. We've got football audio, a ton of which we have not run. We ran a little bit of Ryan Grubb, a little bit of Kalen DeBoer. We haven't run any of Kane Womack. And then yesterday we had another Zoom press conference with DeBoer yesterday. Did you get any of that, Chase? Yeah, so we've got a ton of audio coming your way this morning. Bama basketball last night at home against South Florida, Brian Hodgson's team, former Alabama assistant coaching the Bulls. And we talked about how they were, you know, not a great team, but they were sixth in the country in offensive rebounding, and that's an area that has given Alabama a lot of trouble. But Alabama held their own on the boards last night, and you had to deal with Filon and Holloway combining for 53 points in the game, and Alabama gets the win 104-93. So Tide goes over the century mark again. And 53 points. And then the first half really rebounded well. Second half, not quite as effective, but still, I'll pull up the stats in a minute. They were right there in the rebounding numbers with South Florida. And we've talked about that kind of being Alabama's bugaboo. So Crimson Tide gets another win. And the women played again yesterday. I mean, it seems like they play every day. Doesn't it, Chase?
Yes.
But the women are 12-0. I mean, they have not played a great schedule. I get that. But to be unbeaten is, you know, 12-0 is 12-0. So the Alabama women are rolling. So anyway, we got a good show on tap. We're going to talk about a lot of topics. Countdown to kickoff is on. Again, a reminder to programming note that tomorrow morning I'll be live at Decades Pub and Grub downtown at Timmerson Square. Easy to find right there next to Rhythm and Brews and Brick and Spoon and Tanning Oasis, all right there on that little strip. They're going to be opening at 9, Cliff Clark and Company, for my show. They normally open at 11. But here's what's neat is that Cliff's going to do some breakfast burritos for everybody. And we're welcoming everyone to come by tomorrow for free breakfast burritos. Now, you have to bring your own coffee, Cliff tells me. He's not going to fix up any coffee, but we're going to have some fun. I'll be broadcasting the show. And, of course, Friday night, if you haven't been to Decades, it's a really cool place. It's two bars in one, really, is what it is. You got a sports bar side, and you've got a music and, pop culture side. But for the game tomorrow night, every TV on there, both sides, both bars, is going to be on the Alabama-Oklahoma game. So we'll get started early for the football weekend at Decades Pub and Grub tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We're going to have a lot of fun. All right, let's go ahead and get to our break. We've got phone calls lining up. We got Joe. We got Corey and Trustful. We're going to get to you guys on the other side. We got the coach, Ellis Johnson, coming up at 9:30. And going to have some fun this morning. It's a rainy morning here in Tuscaloosa. It's overcast. It's rainy, but it's not very cold, which is nice. So I've actually got shorts on today. And I do have a little jacket on, but I've got shorts on as well. So we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back with some phone calls right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. Alabama U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville continuing to take heat after stating Islam is not a religion, but a cult. The Council of American Islamic Relations calling Tuberville an anti-Muslim extremist. The Republican says he wears that designation as a badge of honor, but he says he's not anti-Muslim. He wants them to assimilate into society. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. Don Hartley, Town Square Meeting at Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
To feeling and performing better, all you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with occasional showers today. The high for this afternoon around 62. For tonight, showers ending this evening. Clearing and colder, the low 36. Tomorrow and Saturday, sunny both days. The high tomorrow 49. Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports. And on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
And jingle bells square in the frosty air. What a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away.
All right, 9:18. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We got phone calls. We're going to get to Tom, and then we're going to get to Corey over in Trustful. We got the coach, Ellis Johnson, coming up here at 9:30. But I do need to let you know this first hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's just a better way of banking. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a extra change in your pocket. Find out more at alabamacu.com. All right, let's get to Tom, and then we'll get to Corey and Trustful. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Morning, Gary. Thanks for taking my call. I've got two things that I wanted to ask about, and if it's okay, then I'll get out of the way. I always enjoy Corey's phone calls. The first thing is the young lady, Cody, that was playing so well early in the season, I haven't seen her last two or three games. I can't find out what's wrong. If she's injured or what do you know about it?
Not a lot. I'll be honest with you, since I've been doing the news instead of the sports, I haven't followed things quite as closely, even though I do my radio show. I know that they have, that Christie's had a lot of players in and out of the lineup. I do know that. I don't know if Essence Cody has been one of them or not, but I know that, you know, she has not, much like the men, she's been short roster wise. So if you say Cody hasn't played the last couple of games, that's probably what it is, because you're right. She was playing really, really well.
She really was, and Chase seems to think it's an injury. So,
well, if she's not playing, that's what it is. If she's not playing, then that's, I'm sure that's
not playing at all.
You know, then that's,
and he was at the game yesterday, and he saw her on the sideline, and she was not dressed out, and she had a boot on.
Well, then that tells you all you need to know.
Well, yeah, but I wanted a little bit more.
Well, I don't have a lot more to give you right now, like I said.
I got it. But second thing I wanted to ask you about is we got in a little bit of a discussion this morning on Inside the Locker Room, and I pointed out something that Coach Saban said about Ty, and that is if you can possibly disguise your defense and kind of confuse Ty before the snap, you're a lot more effective against him than you are if he said if he gets a good read on what you're trying to do on the defense before the snap, he'll kill you. And he said the only hope you got is try to confuse him, which I think that's what's been going on to some degree with Ty, because if you look how late he goes into the shot clock, it's kind of like, you know, he's trying to figure it all out before he snaps the ball. I've heard you say something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk to Coach about that when he comes on.
Okay, I will. I think that's probably the case for most quarterbacks. But, yeah, I think that
But, I mean, the reason I point Ty out is because Ty has a lot of freedom to change plays at the line of scrimmage. Not all quarterbacks have that.
All right, I'll ask him about it for sure.
Bye.
Thank you, Tom. All right, let's get to Corey over in Trustful. And like I said, I'm Alabama women's basketball has been playing a lot of games lately. I mean, they play back-to-back days. They're playing against Sunday. And normally I am a little more up-to-date on it. But again, just for the interest of full disclosure, when I go to the TV station now, I'm preparing to do a newscast every day. So I don't quite I'm not quite zeroed in on the sports the way I normally am, because we've had Alex Booth doing the sports and Stu McCann's going to be doing the sports, you know, now for a few days while Alex is on a Christmas trip. So it's not quite the same thing, Chase. You know, when I'm going in to do the sports, then I'm dialed into sports. Now I'm dialed in to do the news, which is not my wheelhouse. So I'm having to study, you know, read scripts and prepare for a newscast. So it's a little bit different. But I do know that Alabama women's basketball – Chase, take the mic real quick, Chase, because like you said, you were at the game. They're really banged up, and Essence Cody did not dress and was in a boot. So, yes, she didn't play because she's out with a foot injury.
Correct, Gary. And I believe Coach had addressed that in the previous press conference with their win. But, yes, Essence Cody is unavailable at this time. The timetable is to be determined. I believe she had a boot on her right foot. It must have been sustained a couple games ago. But, yeah, it's great to see a lot of what Curry's doing with her players, getting them plugging in and out, especially when you have a tough SEC slate coming up. You want to perform as the best you can, and why not get a lot of your players from the bench on the floor and get them minutes, get them in the fold of what it means to play for Bama. And you saw a lot of it yesterday, and I was proud of them to see it up close. And I think they have a good squad, especially with Naomi Jones stepping up, and especially with her injury last year, getting a double-double for her first ever career, for collegiate career. But, yeah, with the absence of Essence, it's definitely going to be felt, because she is a big, big presence inside of her post-game and really on the defensive side. But with Naomi Jones and so many others, it's definitely going to make up for it, and you're seeing it now with the historic run, not losing a game yet, and hopefully can continue it with Troy coming up, and then the big one with South Carolina next week.
It'll be here before you know it. All right, let's get to Corey in Trustful. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well, thank you.
I know this is a different topic here, but
Can you believe we're only 7 weeks away till Alabama softball returns?
You know, I hadn't really thought about it again, but you're right. Once we turn the clock on the new year, softball and baseball, boy, before you could snap your fingers. So I hadn't thought about it, to be honest with you, Corey, but that's not very far away at all.
I know we'll talk more about it when it comes closer, but I remember Tom and Gray saying when the season wrapped up that not just last year, but even the year before that, but now that Patrick Murphy and the team have been looking forward, they've been pointing to this year specifically.
Mm-hmm.
That he thinks that this is his best team in a long time. Now, every coach can say that, but he really thinks that. When Tom and Gray interviewed Coach Murphy on their podcast, they actually feel like he feels what Murphy thinks. There's just something extra special about this team. Now, until they play a game, until they start stringing some wins together, that don't mean anything. But he just has a really good feeling, and Tom and Gray have a really good feeling going into the season because the recruiting class is good, the players returning are great, the schedule lines up great with non-conference and in-conference of who you play and who you avoid. So they have a really good feeling about this team. But like I said, it's all about what happens on the field, and until you put the product on the field and it's a good product, we just don't know yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they feel like they're going to be really good this year. I think you just gave us some good insight, Corey. I agree with everything you said. I think that the coaching staff feels like this year is the team that they've got that can get back to contending, you know, to win an SEC championship and national championship. So I'm like you. I'm going to be really interested to see the way this plays out. But I think they feel like they've got the roster. I think they feel like they've got the experience. They're going to be better offensively. They got depth in the pitching staff. Really have been recruiting well. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. I think they feel like they're going to be a really strong team this year. Not just a good team, but a team, like you said, that has a chance to be great.
What are your thoughts on two being benched? Because I feel like this was A, needed, and B, just only a matter of time. I mean, you hate it for Tua, but because of his health and what's been going on with the concussions, these weren't just concussions that you just
had. Let me take that, though. I agree with what you're saying. At the same time, he's cleared to play. I mean, he's cleared to play quarterback for the Miami Dolphins in the NFL. And he has not used – so if you're cleared to play, then you got to play better. It's as simple as that. I mean, if he wasn't able to play, then he wouldn't be playing. So I hear what you're saying, but I think everybody just is saying, well, you know, the concussions or the – you know, but that's – he's cleared to play. He wants to play. So I don't like using that as an excuse for him playing poorly. He just hasn't played well enough. And that's the bottom line. I mean, you're the quarterback. They paid you one of the biggest contracts in NFL history. And you're not getting it done. So, you know, I mean, listen, if he wants to retire, nobody would blame him. I don't get the sense that that's what he wants to do. I think he wants to play football. But, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe he's a little gun-shy about taking hits. But as far as throwing the football, that should not be impacted by what's happened to him. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have been hurt. I mean, I don't know why he's played as poorly as he has. I mean, it was a couple, 3 years ago, he was throwing it all over the ballpark. And, you know, their offense was just lighting it up with pinball numbers. So I don't know what's happened, but you said it. He's not playing well enough to be a starting quarterback right now for the Miami Dolphins. So what's going to happen going forward, I don't know.
Do you think a fresh start with a new team would help?
Well, the question there is, how do you get a fresh start with a new team? You know, the Dolphins probably can't trade him because of the contract. There'd be a ton of dead money on the books right now if they were to cut him because he's got such a huge contract. It looks a lot like the Kirk Cousins situation to me, where they're going to be forced to keep him on the roster at least for another year. He's guaranteed, I want to say, right around $60 million next year. And maybe they'll, in the offseason, they'll look to get him back as the starter. But he could wind up being a backup next season in Miami, the way Kirk Cousins has been in Atlanta. And so we'll just have to see. But he's got that huge contract, which is good for him. Now, let's be clear. He's got a great contract. He's got generational wealth. So, financially, he's fine. Football-wise, he's not in a good spot right now. But you never know in the NFL. You know, Ewers may bomb. They've got the kid from the Jets. What's his name? Out of Brigham Young. Chase, come on, man. You should know that.
Zach Wilson,
you know, is the backup. You know, he's not done anything in the NFL. So, you know, Chase, Corey, Tua could be back being the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins sooner rather than later. So I think right now he's handling it like a pro. That's all he can do and wait and see what happens. But it's going to be hard for him to wind up on another team, at least for next year, because I just don't see the Dolphins releasing him. Hey, Corey, got to run. Thanks, man. Great to hear from you, my friend.
Good talking to you, Gary.
Roll Tide. All right, 9:29 here on the Gary Harris Show. And the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. What a great facility. What great people. Check out the personal training. I've said it before. Get somebody in your life a personal training package for Christmas. It's one of the best gifts that you can give them. Go to YMCATuscaloosa.org and check out the personal training page. It's got all the prices. They do single sessions, duo sessions, 30-minute sessions, an hour session, or just stop by and see them at 2313th Street down. Downtown Tuscaloosa. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org. We're coming back with the coach, Ellis Johnson, next.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear
and sale. Level up to luxury at Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Get there before your friends do. Mercedes-BenzofTuscaloosa.com.
On select models with approved credit, interest accrues from date of purchase. Expires month end.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Oh, can't you see what the
back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the coach, Ellis Johnson, to break down this college football playoff, of course, beginning tomorrow night with Alabama at Oklahoma. The Sooners, the number 8 seed in the 12-team playoffs. The Crimson Tide, the number 9 seed. Then three games on Saturday. We're going to get into every one of them. Hey, good morning, coach. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. Seems like yesterday we were asking what happened with Alabama versus Florida State. Here we are in the playoffs kicking off.
It is something. Just, yeah, crazy. I mean, it's just, you know, like you said when you were coaching, it was, how did you describe it? It was long days, but.
Well, we always felt like the days dragged by so slowly, but the weeks flew by.
Yeah, that's right. And that is the case for sure. It's flown by. But now we're down to the nitty gritty, as we like to say in Alabama. And for the Crimson Tide, it's an opportunity to, you know, do something special. For all these teams, it is. But let's start with Alabama. Started the season, as you alluded to, with a very disappointing loss. Really still a head-scratcher that they played that poorly at Florida State and got beat, but then turned it on, got on a roll, but lost to Oklahoma at home 23-21 in a game where they doubled them up in yardage, but turnovers, you know, and special teams killed them in that game. Then we talked about the SEC championship game last week. Did not play well at all against Georgia. But now clean slate, going to Norman. Oklahoma has a chance to beat Alabama for the third time in 13 months, which would be crazy to me. How do you see this matchup?
It's a hard one to call. You mentioned it could be the third time in a season. That's very hard to do. If Alabama can just find a running game, some semblance of a running game, they'll have an advantage in this game. But they're going to be playing in Norman. I think the real field is going to be about 42 degrees, so they dodged any real nasty weather. But it's going to be about 15-mile-an-hour wind. And that's not an ideal situation to be throwing the ball 80% of the time. So I feel like Alabama's played a tough schedule and probably tough as anybody in the SEC. And the turnovers, that's a result of not having a good running game.
you force the quarterback to have to make too many critical plays, and eventually, you know, the defenses are going to adjust and have an answer for it. So that's the biggest question in my mind. Can they find a little bit of a running game? I saw, you know, Simpson had a stretch early in the year where he had 11 touchdowns and one interception. And over the last, I think, 5 games, he's had 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Now, is he playing worse? I don't know if it's him. I think he doesn't have a running game to help him. And that really puts a lot of pressure back on the passing game.
Let's stay with Simpson because Tom called in, one of our great listeners earlier, wanted me to ask you a question about pre-snap recognition. And I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but I guess he'd heard somebody on a podcast or some coach talking about that if he can, you know, if he can get diagnosed before the snap, he's deadly. But, you know, teams have picked up on that and have started disguising their coverages and giving him some trouble. And if he gets into the play without having a good idea of where he wants to go with the football, I guess that's the case for any quarterback. But would you speak to that about, you know, if a quarterback, and he said, and Tom said, I don't know if this, you know, if this is the case or not, that Ty has a lot more leeway than a lot of quarterbacks to change the play at the line of scrimmage, but said lately he's been struggling with reading the coverages and how that can impact a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, well, that will hurt anybody as a quarterback, not just Ty Simpson. I hate to sound like a broken record, but most of these plays, he'd be given the freedom to check, probably running play, and they don't have a good running game.
Right.
Hopefully Jam will be healthy, and he can, you know, give him a little shot on his own. But I do understand totally what that theory of that premise is that they're talking about. A lot of quarterbacks can sit there and tell you on the board or on film what somebody's playing. But when you take that snap and something changes, you got about a half a second or maybe a second that, you know, that's got to be processed in your mind where you go with the ball. So disguises are very common with a lot of teams, all teams. And one of the biggest things we used to use was the execution or the timing of the quarterback in the shotgun. Much easier to disguise against a shotgun quarterback. And you'd say, well, why is that? Because they can see better in the shotgun. Because they all have a certain mannerism before the ball is snapped, and very few of them can hide it. So you teach your kid what the trigger is on each one of them, and you can hide blitzes, and you can hide secondary coverages until the very last moment. Then you have to have it. You have to read it on the run, as we used to call it. Mm-hmm. A lot of quarterbacks can't do that.
That's right. Let me ask you about the Oklahoma defense, and because Venables was quick to say after the game, he was asked about it, you know, he said, hey, we force those turnovers, and they do. That's the way they play. They got 41 sacks. You know, they're trying to play on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and they get R. Mason Thomas back, who's their best pass rusher. You know, how do you, if you're Alabama, prepare for that when your offensive line at times has struggled? As you've already said, you don't have a great running game. It's going to be windy. They're saying winds could be over 40 miles an hour, and yet you're going to have to throw the football some to have success and win this game. And you're dealing with a defense that you know is going to – they're going to bring it. And you don't have a great screen game. You know, you haven't had very rarely they ever run a draw. I mean, how do you counter the fact that they're coming after you and they have confidence they can get to the quarterback and affect the quarterback? Ryan Grubb and the offensive staff, how do they counter that? What do you think game plan wise that you can do to try to slow them down a little bit if you can't get the running game going?
Well, you mentioned a couple of things, the draw and screens, other things you worry about when you get two blitz happy. But you just mentioned they're not very good at that. Now that is something with a 2 or 3 week preparation. That's the type of thing you can improve on, as opposed to just all of a sudden trying to reinvent the wheel. No, we had a couple of screens and a draw, and hopefully he's got something he can check to those when he recognizes the blitz. Brett's always been very aggressive on his approach. You know, sometimes it can get you beat. It puts too much pressure on the defensive backs playing one-on-one coverage all the time. I don't know who's got a better core of receivers than Alabama. They should be able to put that kind of pressure on that back. And he's right about forcing those turnovers. And I think, you know, you got to give him credit for that. But I really feel like if it had a running game, you wouldn't be able to take that kind of approach against it. So it goes back to the original thing I said. And also, Oklahoma's running defense, rush defense, is sometimes a little misleading because in college stats, sacks come off the rush.
That's right.
So, you know, you might have a game where you look like you just annihilated their running game. Well, a lot of it, those 35 yards, they lost in sacks, which count. I'm not saying it's wrong, but the NFL doesn't put them under the rushing game. So they're vulnerable to the run game. But, again, Alabama's got to find their running game.
Robbie, another great listener, wanted me to ask you about Josh Cuevas, who is going to play in this game. Been out with a lower, you know, body injury for several weeks, and he wanted me to ask you about, from a football conditioning standpoint, and he could be on a pitch count. I don't think he's going to play the entire game. I've been told by someone I trust that, you know, he may get 15, 20 snaps, that type of thing. But he's a valuable piece of that offense in the passing game. He had a big game against Oklahoma the first time. But Robbie wanted me to ask you about, you know, Cuevas being out for several weeks. How hard is it to get back in game shape, particularly for such a big game like this?
Well, it kind of depends on when he was able to get back to practice.
He's been limited even in practice. He's practiced some, but he's been limited.
Well, if you've got those 15, 20 reps, and they're spread out, you know, with a couple of reps, and then you come out and you go another. Anybody could do that, especially the athlete types. The big linemen, it might be a little bit more difficult on them. So I don't know. It's hard to answer that question with any accuracy because I don't know how bad it was or how much he'd been
missing. Right, yeah.
But definitely, this time of year, conditioning is not unimportant, but it's not like it's 95 degrees out there and humidity and you're playing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I wouldn't think that would be a big problem for the kid to get about 20 plays.
All right, let me ask you as a coach, and you've seen it all in your time in this league. Snow, cold, extreme heat, you know, heat to the point where players are cramping up constantly. And now you're going into a game, and I know Oklahoma's probably more and more accustomed to it. It's their home stadium, it's their home venue, but you're going into a game here now on Friday night where temperatures aren't going to be that bad, looking at 40s. But the wind, they're talking about gust, 45, 50 miles per hour. How do you prepare for that from a kicking standpoint, from a throwing the ball standpoint? I mean, you can't send me, I guess you could get a blower out there or something, but I mean, how do you prepare for a game that wind could be a major factor in the game?
Well, strategically, you try to make sure you select each end for the kickoff and that type of thing. You may have to sit on the ball a little bit when you don't have the wind with you. If it's a crosswind, of course, it affects both teams just as bad. But if the wind is, one end of the stadium to the other, one goalpost to the other, it's definitely an advantage, especially in a kicking game, that when you've got it on your side. And coaches need to be aware of that and take it, use it to their advantage, or be conservative when they don't have it. It's just nothing you can do to change it. And, how you deal with it, you can't cut it on and off. And you're going to have to realize it could be a factor. And you don't know which team is going to jump up and bite the first at the soonest. I remember Switzer making a comment back when he was coaching, and he said one of the reasons we like this wishbone is we don't have to worry about throwing the football That's around right. in these Oklahoma winds coming across the plain.
That's
and
right.
I don't think it's making a joke, but hell, it really was. I mean, they didn't put it up there but about 3 or 4 times a game, and they didn't worry about the wind.
That's right. And, I tell you what, the forecast for Saturday is great. That's what's weird about it. They're playing the Friday night game, and Saturday it's, the wind's going to be gone. But we'll see. Sometimes weather can be finicky. Both teams have to play in it. All right, we've broken down, tried to break down some things and from the weather to dealing with Oklahoma's pressure. Alabama's defense played very well in the first game, but there's a caveat to that in that Oklahoma only had 206 yards, or 212 yards, I'm sorry, coach, but they didn't have to move the ball much. I mean, they had short fields. They had a pick six that was nearly 90 yards. So I give Alabama's defense credit, but at the same time, Oklahoma didn't have to do a lot on offense in that game. And that's the thing about Oklahoma is that, if you're Alabama, they're probably not going to be able to run away and hide. They're not proficient enough on offense. So defensively, Alabama, I guess, will try to do, pretty much what they did the first matchup, do you think? Not a lot of need to change very much?
I think so. Now, if the game doesn't go like you said, if you can't get field position and points by their defense and or kicking game, they may have to be a little bit more opened up and take a chance, and that's when Alabama may get turnovers off of them. I don't feel like that Mateer has played as well through the second half of the season. And it may have been that injury to his hand, and he just never got right back on track completely. But he has just been a little bit inconsistent. And, he could be the wild card in this thing. If he doesn't take care of the football, those turnovers could flip the other way.
All right. How do you see this game playing out tomorrow night? Who do you like?
I think Oklahoma will win it, but it's going to be tight. And I think turnovers are, as it was in the first game, turnovers or some kind of big play on defense is going to end up being a difference.
Okay. I'm going to go with Bama. I got Bama 24-20. I just can't see anybody beating Alabama three times in a 13-month period, but we'll find out. All right, let's get to Saturday, Coach. And I'm as intrigued by this matchup. I mean, there's some good, interesting first-round matchups. Obviously, Alabama and Oklahoma, we'll get to the others. But Miami at A&M, I mean, I think you could argue these are two of the top five teams in terms of talent in college football. I mean, A&M is loaded. Miami, that defensive front, they've got a veteran quarterback who's played in big games. They got playmakers. This is a game, to me, that in just terms of pure talent on the field will be the best game of the four when you look at both teams and the talent here, and A&M's at home.
Yeah, very well could be. And I think a lot of folks are kind of more curious about this game because they've watched Alabama play Oklahoma, and as you said, twice in 13 months. And so they've seen that matchup, and not that they won't be watching, but I think a lot of people are really curious to see how this one goes. I somehow think that Miami may have a little more balanced football team. I'm concerned about the quarterback, Texas A&M. Every time if people can get to him and get him a little out of rhythm, his fundamentals will leave him a little bit. And he's a good little athlete. He's a really good football player. But he's had a couple of games, especially like Texas, where he doesn't look like he could rise to the level of national championship playoff football. And the kid at Miami, we've seen him, other than when he got hurt, we've seen him play that level of football at Georgia and quite often there at Miami. So I think they got the best quarterback. I think they probably got a little better overall balance in every phase of the game. Texas A&M is dangerous and destructive on defense. I think they might lead the nation. I think they lead the SEC in sacks, but they're vulnerable to the running game. And their statistics in the run, like I said earlier, they get a lot of sacks, and it makes it look like they're controlling the run, and they are very vulnerable to a really good running game.
I think there's some pressure on A&M here because of their history of not being able to get over the hump, and Elko had them 11-0. They went to Texas. They got handled by their in-state rival again, and now they're playing in a first-round game, and if they lose this game at home, I mean, it doesn't wipe out the fact that they had a great regular season, but what a damper this would be for the Aggies if you lose to Texas and then you lose a first-round playoff game at home. I think there's a lot of pressure on A&M here, Coach.
Could be. I agree with you on that. And plus, everybody's got this ACC vision or whatever you want, opinion of their type of football, and it was a mess this year. It was not a good football conference. So all of a sudden, all of a sudden now you lose to an ACC football team in the first round. It does put a damper on what was a great football season. I think playing at home gives them a huge advantage and possibly may be the difference. But I think Miami's playing better football right now. So it should be a really good football game.
Who do you like? Do you see you kind of lean toward Miami here?
I do. I think they may have a chance to win this one.
All right, let's get to Ole Miss and Tulane. Weird game in the fact that Ole Miss absolutely blew out Tulane earlier this year, 5-touchdown victory. But we know a lot's changed. John Sumrall took the job at Florida, but he has hung in there. But he's committed to Tulane. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin's at LSU. So it's different in that regard. But I still have a hard time trying to come up with a way here that Tulane is going to keep this game close based on what I saw in the regular season. Now, it's a different scenario, but Ole Miss seems like they're just much more talented. Not that Tulane's not a good football team, but can you make a case that Tulane can, get this game into the fourth quarter?
Well, maybe. I haven't seen a lot of Tulane. I just saw the highlights and things that, during the course of the year. Seen a lot of Ole Miss. Will all the coaching staff changes and all that, will that be a big enough distraction? If it is, and they don't play well, I think Tulane can hang around a little bit. But we've seen them play each other, and we know there's a tremendous difference on the overall talent level of two football teams. So it just kind of depends on whether Ole Miss can play up to the level that they did. Now, one thing about Ole Miss, they ended up catching the six of the bottom seven SEC teams this year on their schedule.
They did.
Mm-hmm. Six of the bottom seven. They only had two wins the whole season over top 25 team, Oklahoma and Tulane. They beat Tulane bad, but that was one of their only two wins over top 25 team. So they had one win over a team in the Southern, in the Southeast Conference that had a winning Southeastern Conference record, Oklahoma. So they're not the giant killers that everybody, I think, thinks they are. They passed the eye test, but they really didn't have that hard of a track this year. And outside the conference, played Georgia State, Washington State, and Tulane, Citadel. Okay, so that, I don't know if they've been tested, but I think it's hard to see Tulane beating them when there was a 20-something point difference in the first time they played.
And lastly, again, this is not a knock at Tulane or James Madison at all. I'm, you know, happy for those programs. It's what a big deal. But that's why I want to see them go to 16 teams, because you got two group of fives in and you don't have Notre Dame. You don't have Vanderbilt. You don't have Texas. I mean, it's still weird to me. But James Madison goes to Oregon. I mean, give me something here. I just don't see any way in the world the Oregon just doesn't blow them out.
I mean, James Madison may be better than Tulane. They had a heck of a season this year, and both of them did what the rules say they got to do to get in.
Yeah.
And the other teams, they didn't do it. So I don't fault them. I fault the whole process and the whole format. But that being said, to travel all the way to the West Coast and have to play one of the best five teams in the country, I just don't have any. I have no way of considering how the hell is still close even at halftime. And they may shock us all, but I think this one will be over real early.
All right, Coach. Well, it's going to be fun. I mean, it's I got to work tomorrow night and Saturday night, but you know, I'm gonna watch this. You know, obviously, got to keep up with the games anyway. I just would rather be able to not have to fool with working, but that's goes with the job when you do what I do. But it's gonna be fun.
One thing, the biggest thing jumps out at me, Gary, if you remember, they cut off that bye system, getting the conference winners the byes,
mm-hmm.
and they gave the top four ranked teams the byes. And as I was looking at this thing the other day, I'm trying to imagine how any of these eight teams we just talked about win four games in a row. I just don't think they can. So I think the bye is a tremendous advantage this year. As the two of them got bounced last year, I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think Georgia's sitting in the best path, but the quarterfinals are going to be a bloodbath. That's going to be a heck of a week.
It really is, and I'm with you. That's a lot to ask of any of these teams to make that kind of run. But it starts tomorrow night with the Tide and the Sooners in Norman. Thank you, Coach. And next week, I know I'm on the holiday schedule, but I want to get you on again, but we'll figure out what we're going to do. Thanks a lot.
Okay, man. Thanks.
All right, 9:55. We'll come back and wrap up.
There wasn't even room in the inn. Let him into your home and have a Merry Christmas. From Taco Casa.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
380-70 to book your appointment today. That's 205-343-8070. Located in the DCH Medical Tower. Live well, primary care. It's time.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa, and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with occasional showers today. The high for this afternoon around 62. For tonight, showers ending this evening, clearing and colder, the low 36. For tomorrow and Saturday, sunny both days. The high tomorrow 49. Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
He knows when you are awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. Watch. You better not cry.
That's Jackson 5. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. Hour number two coming up. We are guest-free. We're going to be able to take plenty of phone calls, get your thoughts on the big game. Alabama and Oklahoma tomorrow night. Also, got a lot of sound. Kalen DeBoer, Nate Oates. And we're going to have a good time in the second hour. And again, a reminder, tomorrow morning, I'll be live at Decades Pub and Grub downtown at Timberson Square. We'll be back with hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. Keep it dialed in to Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTVC.
Little tin horns and little toy drums, booty choo choo and rubber chum chums, curly head dolls that tootoo and coo, elephant boats and kitty cars too. Oh, Santa Claus is coming to town! Oh yeah, Santa Claus is coming to town! Santa Claus is coming to town! One more time now!
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
Thursday Night Football kicking off week 16 of the NFL, and it's an NFC West showdown as the Rams will be taking on the Seahawks in Seattle. L.A. wide receiver Devontae Adams listed as doubtful because of his hamstring injury. USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon has officially declared for the 2026 NFL draft. In the NBA, Josh Giddey recorded his sixth triple-double of the season, 23 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists as the Bulls outscored the Cavaliers 127-111. Jaren Jackson Jr. had a double-double, 28 points and 12 rebounds as the Grizzlies topped the Timberwolves 116-110. The Lakers will be without DeAndre Ayton for Thursday's game in Utah because of his elbow.
6829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with occasional showers today. The high for this afternoon around 62. For tonight, showers ending this evening, clearing and colder, the low 36. For tomorrow and Saturday, sunny both days, the high tomorrow 49. Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right. Hour number two is going to be better than hour number one. We got a little heat on. Chase and I were freezing, man. It was like icicles were forming on the windows. I'm like, you know what? When it's colder inside than it is outside. But anyway, we got the Audio Bob took care of it. Got the heat turned on a little bit. It feels a lot better because, like I said, I wore shorts in today because it's not that bad outside. Now, I have a little windbreaker on, obviously. But anyway, it feels a lot better. So I hate trying to do radio when my teeth are. All right. Like I said earlier, wide open in this hour. No phone, no guest. Hopefully I have phone calls. We are going to get to Kalen DeBoer. We're going to break down what he had to say yesterday. Also, Nate Oates following Alabama's win over South Florida last night. But right now, we're going to get this second hour started off with a phone call. One of our faves, Mary, over in the ATL. Hey, Mary.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Well, y'all aren't the only ones freezing. I'm freezing back here in my back room, too. A hoodie and two T-shirts is not exactly cutting it for me right now. I'm freezing, too.
Boy.
So I could use a little bit of that heat.
Yeah.
But now, one quick thing that kind of crossed my mind the other day. Is it possible that we could see some rotation and maybe see Austin Mack or maybe Keelan come in at some point Friday night?
I think it's very unlikely based on what we've seen this season. Now, if this is do or die. Now, worst case scenario, you're late in the third quarter and Alabama's down, let's say, two scores, and the offense has shown absolutely nothing. I say that to say that I think anything could be on the table. But short of just a terrible offensive performance, there's nothing to indicate that they will change quarterbacks. Ty Simpson's been the quarterback all year. Last year, Jalen Milroe was quarterback all year. This coaching staff doesn't look like it wants to go to a backup quarterback. So I would have to, you know, and hopefully it won't come to that. I mean, hopefully Ty plays well, the offense plays well,
right.
Alabama gets a lead. But it could happen, Mary, if, like I said, sure, you look up late in the third quarter and you're you're in trouble, or even at halftime. If you just, you know, remember when Saban pulled Jalen for Tua. I mean, so you never take anything off the table when you're a do-or-die situation, but it would have to be something like that. Or, of course, you know, hopefully this won't happen, but, you know, if Ty got hurt or something like that. But outside of that, I don't see him bringing in Austin Mack or Keelan Russell. Not when they really haven't played all year in significant snaps to bring him into the biggest game of the season. No, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That's definitely one thing that we don't need. We don't need Ty getting hurt, especially with, you know, there being a possibility that we could go to Pasadena and maybe attempt to lay a butt whooping on Indiana, which honestly, that would be great. I mean, it's kind of a far-fetched fantasy right now, but that would be awesome.
Well, that's the hope.
I'm hoping. So as far as, like, you know, improvement on the offense and stuff, with news that came out yesterday with Quavis and possibly Danny Lewis being able to come back in, that should give our offense the boost that we need. Am I right? Or
No doubt. I mean, listen, to have your tight ends back, big, particularly Quavis, because Quavis he's a mismatch in terms of his ability to – it's hard for a linebacker to cover him. He's athletic enough.
Right.
And he finds that seam, and he finds those open spots. He catches the ball well. He's got good hands. He's really good after the catch and getting yards. So there's no doubt. They've missed him. They've missed him a lot. So him being able to play some – should really help them. They like using the tight ends. So yeah, that's a big get for them on offense. And Jam Miller coming back too, you know. And so hopefully offensively, we're going to see a little spark that we haven't seen now in a while. They'll need it.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I know when I heard the news break, you know, that Jam was going to be good to go, my confidence shot up from like maybe a 5 or 6.5 to maybe like a 12. And just, you know, he's my favorite. That's my guy. And, you know, I feel like I kind of went a little bold, maybe a little bit overboard. But, you know, I played a score prediction yesterday. I said 28-24, and they always say trust your gut. So that was kind of my gut instinct was where I was thinking. I think 28-24 could get it done. You know, even if I'm not even on point, just getting close, that'd be perfect. So I'm just hoping that, you know, third time's a charm. Maybe we can actually nip this in the bud and get this done.
Well, I can't hardly fathom, you know, just can't wrap my arms around the thought that Alabama could lose to the same team three times in 13 months. So I'm picking Alabama. Yeah. I got them winning 24-20 and hopeful that they'll make me look good.
Oh, yeah, I think they will. Well, I know y'all probably got other people waiting. I got a couple projects I got to do, so y'all have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, Mary. Good to hear from you, as always. Mary in the ATL. Appreciate that phone call. Enjoyed having Coach Ellis Johnson on. You know, the fact that he, from a football perspective, likes Oklahoma, I get it. I mean, you know, and I always try to pick who I think is really going to win the game. That's why I pick against Alabama occasionally. So I try not to just, you know, rubber stamp it. I'm going to pick Alabama every time. I think Alabama's going to win tomorrow night. But the fact that Coach thinks Oklahoma's going to win from a football perspective, I can see that. Chase, you know, if you remove, you know, you remove your bias a little bit, you know, and a big part of me picking Alabama is because I just don't think somebody should be able to beat them three times in 13 months. But from a football perspective, let's be honest here. Last year, an Oklahoma team that was going nowhere beat Alabama 24-3 in Norman. Brent Venables absolutely handled them from a defensive standpoint. Then they came in here when Alabama was, you know, on a roll, okay? Alabama was on a roll. You know, Alabama was a top, you know, four seed in the college football playoff and being talked about, you know, as a national championship contender. In Bryant Denny, on a beautiful day for football, when everything was, you know, going for Alabama, and Oklahoma won the game. Oklahoma won the game. Now Oklahoma is going to be at home. And so my point is, if somebody picks Oklahoma, I see why. I'm in this case, I'm going with Alabama more because of my gut. And I do think Alabama is going to take care of the football. But if you just looked at it from just a pure football standpoint, and you get Thomas back, your best pass rusher, I mean, I could see where, you know, if you picked Oklahoma, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, and I do think somebody just texted me, and I haven't checked it, you know, now that we're done with the season, I haven't been doing my SEC point spread predictions. Somebody texted me that line has gone from Alabama 1.5 to Oklahoma 1.5 now. Okay, Chase just gave me a thumbs up on that. So that tells you right now the money is flowing in on Oklahoma. That's a 3-point swing, 1.5 to 1.5. So the money's coming in on Oklahoma too. Alabama's now an underdog, which I thought they probably should have opened as an underdog. But so yeah, I'm picking Alabama. But if you ask me if I'm nervous about my pick, yeah, I am. It's not like I'm picking Alabama, and it's one of the, you know, you've heard me say before when I feel great about this pick, and you hear me say something about picks. That's kind of, I'm a little uneasy on this pick. Again, I'm not doing this as much from a football standpoint as I am just for my gut. You know, just my feeling that Alabama is going to come up with something. Because if you ask me, based on what I've seen the last few games, I'd probably go with Oklahoma. I mean, what I saw in Atlanta, and I understand Alabama was banged up in that game, but what I saw in Atlanta was not good. I mean, I saw Alabama get handled. And I'm going to be quite frank with you. In the second half against Auburn, Alabama won the game, man. That's a bottom line. And they came up with a drive when they had to have it. But they were up 17-0 in that game and had the football in good field position. And Auburn came all the way back to tie that game up. And I thought in the second half, they gashed Alabama's defense. Ashton Daniels got out of the pocket. Malcolm Simmons caught some balls. And that was a bad half of football for Alabama. The offense didn't do anything until that last drive. So the recent body of work for the Crimson Tide on the field has not been good. Now I'm making myself even more nervous about my pick. But I do think Alabama's going to win the game. By the way, Crimson Tide, again, with it being a Friday game, they'll fly out this afternoon. They'll bus from the Malmore complex to the airport and then fly into Norman and play the game tomorrow night. All right, it's 10:15 here on the Gary Harris Show. Hey, listen, we still got a week to Christmas. Get by and see Tom at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery, University Mall. And get, ladies, if you want to get your man something special for Christmas, how about a $99 suit? That's right. Men, if you just want to go get something special for yourself, $99 suit sale continues at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the beautiful University Mall. All right, we're going to come back with some Kalen DeBoer audio. He had another Zoom press conference yesterday. We've got it. Chase has got it clipped up. We're going to hear from the coach of the Crimson Tide next. Also, if you want to get in on a phone call, Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904.
West Alabama. Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. Alabama U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville ending Meyer's comments that Islam is not a religion, but rather a cult. And he asked the 22,000 Muslims in Alabama to assimilate to American society.
I need their help in coming out against the radicals in our state and other states.
Tuberville's comments on the 95.3 The Bear Stephen D.C. morning show this morning. Word from Birmingham is that A.J. McCarron dropped out of the lieutenant governor's race to become the head coach of the Birmingham Stallions. Alabama women's basketball remains undefeated, 13-0. I'm Don Hartley.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch meeting.
Two is delayed.
And all the while, you were on your commute home. There's more to imagine when you listen. Discover romance titles on Audible.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on...
Saturday, December 27th, Pearl River Resort Silver Star Convention Center.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Christmas in Dixie. It's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie.
Little Alabama. Brings us back into the Gary here. So some app messages. One from yesterday. Racer will be there talking about tomorrow at the Decades Pub and Grub for our live show in the morning. Also today from Junior in Mobile. Love your show. Don't you think that Tyreek Hill being injured most of the year has had a huge effect on Tua's confidence? It certainly hasn't helped. I'll give you that. It certainly hasn't helped not having a playmaker of that caliber. At the same time, he's had Waddle. Waller, the tight end, is a now that he's back, he's a tremendous playmaker. Yeah, it would have been better to have had Tyreek Hill. At the same time, I mean, just Tua has struggled throwing the football this year. I still, if I were the Dolphins and I was the ownership, I wouldn't make this move, or the guy would stay with Tua for the rest of the season myself, but they want to see what Quinn Ewers is all about. Obviously, they want to look at Ewers because what's the kid's name from BYU again? I never remember his name. Zach Wilson, is that it? We can't remember this kid. That's how forgettable he is, but he was the number two quarterback. Ewers was the number three quarterback. So for Ewers to get moved up from three to one tells you they want to take a look at him. But listen, that doesn't mean he's going to play well. So we'll see what happens there. All right, let's get to some phone calls. And we got the Cowboy on. Heard Cowboy on with Wimp and Barry this morning. I have no idea what he's going to hit me with this morning. Hey, what's going on, Cowboy?
Hey, Gary, don't you love snowing in the pines and hearing those pine trees crackle?
You know what? I love that song. And I love that song, but you know, very rarely at Christmas in Dixie is it snowing in the pines. Let's just be honest. That sounds good in the song, but
yeah.
Very rarely in Dixie is it snowing in the pines. Now, in 2010, I was at my mom's house over in Oxford, Alabama, and White Christmas. It snowed several inches. It was beautiful. So. By the time I got back to Tuscaloosa that evening, there wasn't anything on the ground. Tuscaloosa gets less snow than anybody in the state of Alabama. But I'd love to see, you know, snowing in the pines. Problem is right now, Cowboy, the forecast for here for Christmas Day is like 72.
Yeah. Well, I just was taking the saying snow in the pines. My parents' house where I grew up, in Birmingham was surrounded by pine trees. It was just full of. My dad built the house, and he believed in not taking one tree out of the yard that he didn't need to for the foundation or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a few over the years, but, you know, the you could just, when it snowed there in 1982, that snow deal we had, and then in 83, in 82, I remember that was my senior year in high school, and you could hear the pines just crackling in the yard when those things would start getting ready to break. I know you've heard that sign.
Well, yeah, when I was,
yeah.
Now I have seen that, and when I was, when we moved to Cleburne County, after, like I said, I lived all over the country, but we moved to Cleburne County, and we would get some ice events over there. Some snow, but usually it would be ice. And you're right, they would weight those trees down, and they would crack them. You're right. It would be be ice everywhere. Well, what you got from a sports standpoint?
Yeah. Well, what do you think about this matchup, Gary?
Well, I kind of said what I just went in depth on it. I think Alabama's going to win, but it's more of a, this is not based on football as much as it is just based on a gut feeling that Alabama's not going to let Brent Venables beat them three times in 13 months. I just refuse to believe that's going to happen. But from a football standpoint,
what is your evidence that it won't happen?
Well, I just said, that's what I said. If you'd listened earlier, I said there is not really a ton of evidence. If
I
looked at it strictly,
I looked at it strictly
from a football standpoint, I could certainly make a case that the team that beat them 24-3 last year out there and then came in here when Alabama was on a roll and beat them in Bryant-Denny-Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium is going to beat them again. So I don't have a ton of evidence other than I think Alabama's going to win the game. In this case, I'm going with my gut feeling. Because from a football standpoint, I'm very nervous. And if I was an Oklahoma fan, I would be very confident. I would say, well, you know what, we wore them out here last year. We weren't very good. We went into Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium and beat them when they were playing really well. And now we got them at home. So, as I said earlier, and you weren't listening, I said, if anybody picks Oklahoma, and Coach Ellis Johnson did, I got no problem with that. I can see your thinking there, but I do think Alabama's going to win the game.
What other evidence on your gut do we have that your gut feeling like this one came through? Can you give me an example of a game?
No, because usually I don't pick with my gut. Usually I try to pick, you know, like I picked Georgia to win the SEC championship game because I just knew they were a better team at this point in time. And I picked Georgia to win the first time, and it bit me. Usually I try to pick based on what I think from a football standpoint. So I don't have a ton of evidence. In fact, I said this earlier, I'll repeat it since you didn't hear it. Based on what I've seen recently from Alabama, I don't have a lot of confidence at all. I mean, that second half of that Auburn game, I mean, let's be honest, I give Alabama a lot of credit for making that one. They got worn out in the second half of that game. Auburn lit them up offensively with Ashton Daniels to Malcolm Simmons. Alabama didn't move the football hardly at all until that final drive. And then what I saw in the SEC championship game, I saw Alabama get handled. I saw them absolutely get whipped. So I don't have a lot of recent evidence that Alabama's going to win this game other than the fact I think they're going to win this game. So I'm being totally transparent with you. From a football standpoint,
is that a fanboy pick or is that an analysis pick?
It's a pick that I think Alabama's going to win the game. That's the pick. You know, it's not based on...
Give me a matchup that you think Alabama's going to win. I'm trying to talk sports. And you're
telling you is I don't have a lot of football evidence right now that Alabama is going to match up well with Oklahoma. You know, they get R. Mason Thomas back. They're going to get after Simpson. But I do think this, if you want a football analogy, if Alabama doesn't turn the football over in that first game, they win that game, and they probably win that game fairly handily. I will say that. Mm-hmm. So I have hopes if they take care of the football and they don't get overwhelmed in the special team side of it in the kicking game that they can win the game. So there's a football that's a football analogy for you right there. If Alabama takes care of the ball and doesn't give Oklahoma those short fields or in one case a nearly 90-yard pick six, I think they can win the game. So I'm counting on them not turning the football over.
I think, you know, everybody would laugh at this, but the game could turn into kind of an offensive game. You know, Alabama's due for an offensive game, and Oklahoma, might be due for their offense to do something, you know.
Well, Alabama did go for 400 and over 400 yards of offense, and Ty threw for like 330 the first time around. So they moved the ball against that defense. They moved it up and down the field. I mean, it was – I was there. I mean, Alabama moved the football.
Moving, they milk the clock and they don't score a lot of points. 21 in today's football is not a lot.
No, that's the thing is Oklahoma's generally not going to run away from you because, as you said, they're not proficient enough on offense or explosive enough to run away and hide. So anyway, but I just totally removed the feeling that I just don't think Oklahoma's going to be able to beat Alabama three times in 13 months, I might pick the Sooners, but. I just feel
you
know like
Alabama may have an advantage, Gary, is Oklahoma's got three freshmen in the offensive line, but by now Kirby would say they're sophomores. So
well, and he's probably right. I mean, you played a whole year, but it's an interesting matchup. I mean, I really want to see Alabama not go out in the first round. If you win this game, man, you got another 2 weeks. You get to go to the Rose Bowl. You know, and you got a chance then to really pull an upset. So this is a big game for Alabama and for Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah. Well, do you think Alabama basketball proved anything last night, or that was just a game you play and you win? You don't really get a lot out of it.
No, I think they got something out of it. I thought in the first half they rebounded the ball tremendously well. In the second half, not so much. But, you know, anytime you go over 100 points and it's a productive game, listen, Alabama plays a style of basketball that we've talked about here on the show many times. They can make you look bad. They can embarrass you when they're hitting on all cylinders. And, you know, last night they got 53 combined from Filon and Holloway. But they also are a team that when those shots, and then, you know, and they didn't shoot it great last night, but I think they may wind up making 13 threes. When they're not making shots and they're not getting out in transition, at times, you know, they can look bad. Well, the thing I want to see from Alabama basketball is I want to see him settle in on a rotation. I mean, it's game to game now. I never know who's going to be in the lineup. And
right.
I want to see him kind of settle in on a rotation, get a little continuity, and I still think they got a chance to be a really good team.
Oh, yeah. They're a top four team in the SEC, I would think.
Yeah, I would
say
that. I don't
see anybody better so far.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the top four teams are going to kind of, you know, figure out who's going to finish 1 through 4 by their road victories over the year, I would think. You say Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, and Florida's top four teams, right?
Yeah, I'd probably go with that. I'd say right now, just based again, and I haven't watched every team in every game, but just scanning around, watching some action. Right now, I'd say to me, Arkansas look like the best team in the league so far. But that's not doing a lot of studying of it. I think ultimately, Florida with those bigs, Tennessee with their toughness and inside presence, I would put all three of those teams ahead of Alabama right now. So yeah, I'd probably put Alabama in there at 4 and. You know, but there's other teams, certainly. I think Auburn's got, capable of doing something. I still think you can never count out Kentucky.
Right.
You know, so Texas is –
yeah, there's probably a sleeper
in there.
A&M, I watched them a little bit once. They're not bad.
Yeah, they're not bad. And Bucky, you know, is going to have them playing some exciting basketball. So, but it's going to be a fun season. Yeah. And tomorrow night it's going to be fun. Hey, I got to hit this break, Cowboy.
Yeah. Hey, I got one thing here. I hadn't heard you talk about it much. How does West Alabama feel about the way the football season went this year? You got any comments?
Maybe? You know, that's probably something I need to check on. I have not paid. You know, I know they got off to that great start, and of course it hurt them not getting to play that game. They went what 3 weeks between games, and the season didn't finish great. But they were competitive in all those games. They played the toughest part of their schedule.
Right.
So I think overall, from what I've been told, they're thrilled with having Cochran there and hopeful that this coming year they get to play more games. 9 games is not enough.
Right.
But, yeah,
right.
I think all in all they feel pretty good about things.
Good deal. Well, take care, buddy.
Thank you, Cowboy. Appreciate you.
Pines in the snow.
Yeah, absolutely. Bye-bye. Absolutely. Tell you something else, too, while you're enjoying the snowing in the pines, you enjoy it a lot better as a man if you feel good, if you feel healthy, if you feel full of vigor. And you, if you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. They specialize in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Your personalized treatment starts with their signature three-step plan. Complete intake and simple blood work. Get the results in 15 minutes. Meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health, and then begin your customized treatment plan. All consultations are free. Get back in the game at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa.
And all across the nation,
it's... So when your house is lit up, go outside, snap a pic, and send it to us through the Tide 100.9 app. And let's light up West Alabama this Christmas.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
We're simply having a 10:36. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. More phone calls to get to. We got Super Joe, and then we got Ragged Glory. Super Joe, what up, partner?
Hey, everything all gravy, man. How you feeling, man?
Feeling good, man.
Yeah, man. Sure. I tell you what, though, man. It's gonna be a great war down in Oklahoma. But I'm beyond with you. The best conference in Alabama ain't there. But I still say they got a chance of winning. The game could go either way. But right now, I was listening to some right now it would be hard for Ty Simpson to be the quarterback next year. But it's a possibility he might transfer or something, but he's not NFL ready. And I believe every bit of that, because you know they got four quarterbacks coming in and stuff like this. So right now, you know, I'm just gonna say like this, you know, Ty Simpson, you know, somebody, the man was talking about just reached the ceiling. You know, as far as his talent goes.
Yeah, you know, listen, Super Joe, I understand what you're saying, and I get it. But, my focus, I'm more one of those guys that I'm looking at the right now. You know, I'm not really worried about next year, what's going to happen with the quarterbacks. Alabama's got a chance to play for a national championship, so that's where my focus is at. I'm focused on the game tomorrow night. If they lose that game, then I'll start thinking about next year. And you're right. I mean, I don't know what the quarterbacks are going to look like next year. You know, if Ty Simpson wants to come back, does he come back? Does he transfer? I still think there's some people that say that, you know, he could go into the draft, you know, but I don't know what's going to happen next year. So right now, though, I know what's going to happen tomorrow night, and Alabama's going to play Oklahoma. So I'm not trying to dismiss your question, because I know a lot of people are talking about it, but I kind of deal more with the here and now than, you know, I'll worry about next year when it's time to worry about next year.
Okay, well, I feel that, because, you know, just keep up with the press. And I understand all that. But, and then at the same time, you know, I really want to see Alabama pull this off. But right now, I can say that there's a chance they can go ahead and pull this off. I think so. I think they can pull this off if we can eliminate some of the mistakes on the offense, because the defense is playing well. And I mean, don't get me wrong, Oklahoma's defense ain't been that strong in a good while. The offense normally was ahead of their defense once upon a time. But I still say, like, I think if Alabama plays on the edge, I think we can pull this off if we can eliminate some mistakes, because that's where Oklahoma really beat us on, is our mistakes. And I'm not denying Oklahoma being a great team, and they should be in the playoffs. But again, on some reality, I believe there's some things we can prevent, and I say we can do what we're supposed to do. I still think we can pull this off a good 20-24 game.
Well, I like the way you think. I think Alabama's going to pull it off too. And as I said earlier with Cowboy, I mean, I don't have a lot of concrete football evidence. You know, if I looked at it strictly from a football standpoint, based on what I've seen recently, I'd probably pick the Sooners. But you know what? I think Alabama's going to win the game. And you know, that's just my feeling on it. I just have that gut feeling that Alabama, and you know, maybe completely wrong, but I think Alabama's going to find a way to get it done tomorrow night in Norman.
And another thing too, I mean, I gotta say like this, you know, with Coach Caleb DeBoer, you know, like I say, you know, Caleb DeBoer is Caleb DeBoer, and he's got to be him. So you know, we're not like, people got to be very mindful. We're not in the Coach Saban era no more. That's over with. So you know, this is a new season. Now we're under a new coach. We got a new policy going. So. And I'm going to say, like, the man's doing a great job.
you know, we got to give Kalen DeBoer, you know, the respect he deserves. And I do believe before it's over, he will be a national championship coach at least two times before he gets out of here and leaves Alabama. So I have no doubt with the man.
Well, I tell you what, Super Joe, if you got no doubt, I'm right there with you, my friend. I like the way you think. So I think he's going to be the coach here next year, too. And, you know, I don't see why he would leave. But nothing would surprise me in college football in the modern era. But at the same time, I think Kalen DeBoer is going to do a good job. And I think you're going to get that win tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about playing Indiana in the Rose Bowl. So, all right, partner.
All right, but hey, well, you're saying, I'm right. Y'all get together and see if y'all can hook me up with some Iron Bowl tickets next year. If y'all can think y'all can do that. That way, Super Joe get in the building.
All right, I'll see what I can do. Good to hear from you, partner. All right, let's get to Ragged Glory here. Hey, Ragged, what's up?
Good morning, Gary. Wow, you want to ask me what's up? Can you possibly imagine?
Yeah, it's been a busy show this morning. I mean, it's a lot of interesting calls. Week. Yeah,
man, I'm telling you. But hey, you know, let's start off with saying this. I trust your gut, your male intuition. You felt that Georgia would beat us in the SEC championship. And it wasn't, you know, putting bad mojo or anything on us like that. It just was a feeling. Kirby got the monkey off his back. Well, hey, and now you've got this gut feeling we're going to beat the Sooners.
Yeah, okay. No, the Georgia pick was more of a football pick. I just thought, well, Georgia was better. This game is more of an intuition pick because, as I said, Ragged Glory, in the interest of full disclosure, from a strictly football standpoint, I mean, I could probably make a strong case for Oklahoma in this game based on the fact that they beat them the first time here in Tuscaloosa. Alabama did not play well in the SEC championship game. They did not play well in the second half of the Iron Bowl. So, you know, I could probably make a case for Oklahoma, but I just, again, yeah, I am kind of going with my gut here. But I listen, Alabama fans are nervous. I can hear it with everybody that calls in. Oh, and, hey. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hold on to that. But here's the deal. The key to this game is, and I got to back Mary up here. Number one, Mary from Atlanta, you know, we love you down here. Here's to let me relieve your mind. We've had 2 weeks to prepare. We cannot come across with plan A and drive it into the ground. We will have plan A, plan B, plan C ready to go. We can't stagnate. We cannot sit back and keep trying to make something work that's not working. Okay. That's great. So there's got to be some packages. But our defense is looking good. The key, I'm hoping that Xavier Brown, who shut down the kid's name Coleman from the Auburn Tigers, took him out of the game. Well, the only threat I see that Mintu or whatever his name is has is Sartain. If we erase Sartain, or at least make it to the point where he's really not that effective, what else have they really, really got?
Well, they're not an explosive. Yeah, they're not an explosive team on offense. They haven't been all year. So.
No, but whenever he does get the ball, yes, he's explosive. Well, the same rule applies. Like, hey, Xavier Brown shut down Coleman, and by golly, we got to have somebody that matches up with Sartain to shut him down. So, and we take that away. What else have they got?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, they did not have a great offensive game against Alabama in the first game. They didn't have to, but they won the game. And so,
yeah, they did. But then again, we there it comes back to this. We've got to protect the football. We cannot let them have a short field. There it is there. I mean, what else did they have?
Well, you got it broken down, Ragged Glory. So I hope you're right.
I just have this gut feeling.
No, well, good deal, my friend. Well, thanks for the phone call. I hope that gut is strong again tomorrow night. Let's get to Robbie Glenn here before we close out the segment. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary. Happy Thursday. And I'm going to agree with you and Ragged there. Yeah, gut feeling is everything, and I got the same feeling. I think Bama is going to be ready. I think we're going to play a complete game. And, you know, we're back. We got some key pieces back. They're healthier. We're not healthy, but we are healthier than we were. Hopefully those guys can just be out there and do what they can. Anytime you get Cuevas back, I don't know how effective he's going to be. What was he out, 5 weeks? But he's still, him being out there is going to be a defensive nightmare trying to figure out where he's at. So that's going to help. But when it comes down to this game, I think Ty, everyone's going to be ready to play. But I'm going to put this on Grubb. He's got to call the best game he's called all season. He's got to come up with some plays that this defense cannot figure out or read and give Ty and our weapons the best chance. Get the ball to him quick and keep them guessing. I think our defense will play like they've been. They've been shutting everybody down. If there's anything that the defense needs to do a little better, come up, make a hit, and get that guy to the ground. We do a lot of hitting, standing him up, and then all of a sudden here comes the offensive line. They push them another 4 or 5 yards for a first down. Get these guys on the ground. That's the only thing I've seen the defense do wrong is just not getting them down on the ground. But other than that, they're playing lights out. But I'm like you. I think we're going to pull away with this win and get Indiana next week.
Well, that would be really, really good for Alabama football this year. I think it would give the fans and everybody that pulls for the program a feeling that this program is right where it needs to be. A loss is going to, quite frankly, cause a little bit of concern, and some fans are going to be disillusioned. So it's a big game tomorrow night. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, we gotta get Mateer down, too. I know he's going to try to run some because that's always been one of our trouble spots. But if we can get him on the ground and make him force the throw, I think we'll be fine. You know, let's just it's going to be an exciting game either way. Night game in Oklahoma. Weather's not going to be that bad. I don't think the crowd's going to affect them that much. Yeah, they're going to be loud. They're going to be excited. But, you know, they played in bigger games. They played at Auburn at night. You know, Georgia, they played in this crowd. So that should not be a factor in messing us up. But still going to be an exciting game.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you, Gary.
Appreciate it, man. All right, it's 10:48 here on the Gary Harris Show. And lunch is right around the corner. And lunch any day, along with breakfast, brunch, whatever it may be, is great at Brick and Spoon. At Brick and Spoon, they open at 7. They stay open until 2 every day. So breakfast, brunch, and lunch is available 7 days a week. Food menu is terrific. Those build-your-own Bloody Marys, a really popular seller, as are the mimosas. Get by and see them at Brick and Spoon, downtown at Timberson Square. All right, we're going to come back. If we get phone calls, we'll take them. If not, we're going to try to play a little bit of Kalen DeBoer, at least, before the show is over. And we'll close it out right after this timeout. If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after.
So we can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate. Are you in good hands? 248-0303.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
List. Save now at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Select styles. Offerings December 24th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with occasional showers today. The high for this afternoon around 62. For tonight, showers ending this evening. Clearing and colder, the low 36. For tomorrow and Saturday, sunny both days. The high tomorrow 49. Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team.
The best sports talk in the state.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I keep my distance, but you still catch my eye. Tell me, baby.
All right, 10:52. And since we don't have any phone calls, I'm going to go ahead and try to get some of this Kalen DeBoer in, at least a few clips. Chase has got it all clipped up. Let's. This was from yesterday, and let's just start out with his opening comments.
Yeah, 2 days out, just walked off the practice field, just building up to Friday night. And again, I know we've talked a lot about it already, but awesome opportunity for our football team to go up against, a very good football team in Oklahoma and Coach Venables. And so I'm looking forward to everything that comes about here in the next 2 to 3 days.
All right. And we've talked a lot about Josh Cuevas. Here's Coach on what Cuevas brings to the team.
Experience, athleticism, just consistent and everything, knows his assignment. He's been in the system now 3 years. And so, he can kind of do it all. He's comfortable in the box, on the line, flexed out, all the little things that we really utilize our tight ends for. He's just extremely comfortable doing it.
And let's get to the clip about the lights, because Jeremy Bernard made a comment that last year Alabama receivers struggled with the lights, their end zone lights, as opposed to the standard lighting that runs along the, the wide sides of the field. And here's Coach DeBoer. He was asked about the lights being a factor for Alabama's wide receivers.
I know he had the one in particular, that it somehow is either in the lights or not in the lights. I'm not sure what the situation was, but it kind of ate him up, or however you want to word it. But every stadium is a little different, and really there's no way to replicate, whether it's Bryant-Denny Stadium or when we go on the road to these other places. And so just got to adjust when you're there. Actually, we had a practice under the lights the other night, but really that's not going to do anything for you as far as preparing for the places you go. So we just got to adjust when we're there. There's nothing really to talk about. It's just a road game and all the things that come with it.
All right, Chase, let's get to the clip on Jam Miller and him being back for this game and what it means for the running game.
Back this time around.
Yeah, I think I thought we blocked as good as we had. And again, you want to take those steps. And, we've had times where we struggled to run the ball. And I thought that was a game where we communicated well. We blocked well. We did our assignment. And we kept building, and Jam was a part of that, and carried the load there, as well as Daniel, and getting some opportunities in that first game. And so you just really hope that us understanding what they do, I know there'll be some tweaks and adjustments they make, we will do the same, but you just really want to build. And two teams that, again, know each other, and so you have your identity, but you also got to continue to find these little tangents that you can add to it, to, because, we know what they're working on and they know what we're working on.
All right. We're hearing from Coach Kalen DeBoer, Alabama head football coach, from yesterday. Let's get to the clip about the special teams preparation. Special teams was poor for Alabama in the first matchup against Oklahoma.
It really is nothing that we can't handle in that situation. I think a lot of it was, is we had LT for practice during the week there early. And so, just with that game going back, there were limited reps and that certain guys got. And so, we've had 2 weeks, and, those guys know what we're doing. It was just a moment that, we weren't on our A game there. And, you lose guys, and you lose a little bit of that veteran piece, but we got guys that are more than capable.
All right. Also, there, I think he's talking about LT Overton replacing him as well. All right. Let's see. All right, he was asked about overall health of the team and any other injury updates, and this will be the last clip that we have for you.
A few guys back as well. I think that makes a difference. It makes a difference, especially in how you practice. And so got to go out there, still do it on Saturdays, and when you have Fridays, I guess, this week. But, you know, got a great opponent across from us, too, that, you know, has a say in that. But I like the temperament. I like the way we're able to go out there and practice with a good tempo and, you know, have a little more depth to us, too, so you can get more reps, whether it's ones or twos. But, you know, every guy is just a little more healthier. I mean, you're going to naturally be that with a week off, and we got that before we had to get back to really work here over the last 8 days or so, you know, getting ready for Oklahoma.
All right, good deal. That's Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer. And you know what? He sounds like a football coach that feels good about his football team, feels good about where they're at. I think they've had good preparation, everything that I've heard. And now you just got to go out there tomorrow night and let it all hang out. Play free, play with confidence. Just get back to playing the kind of football that Alabama is capable of playing. And if they do that, I feel like they're going to win the football game. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Gary Harris Show. Again, a reminder, tomorrow morning, I want you to join us live at Decades Pub and Grub downtown at Timmerson Square, right there in the heart of Timmerson Square. Rhythm and Brews, Brick and Spoon, Tanning Oasis is all right there. Decades, we are going to be kicking it tomorrow at 9 a.m. And Cliff Clark, the owner, is going to have some breakfast burritos for everybody. Kind of get ready for the big game tomorrow night. All right, catch me on TV tonight doing your local news on WVUA 23. And we've got the Miller's Edge coming up next. For Chase Brumfeld, I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great day.